Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call, 323-870-3857. And before we even get started, happy Mother's Day to everyone out there, all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. Lisa, happy Mother's Day. And anybody else that I missed. So I think I got all the mothers, don't you, Habib? I think I got everybody.
Happy Mother's Day, Lois.
Is Lois a mother?
Man, it's just a formality we do.
I don't know. I mean, if she's not a mother, then you can't really tell her Happy Mother's Day, no?
She's a mother to me.
She mothers you?
Yeah.
After you blow her up or when you deflate her? How does that work?
I'm very difficult to deal with.
You're no day at the beach, huh?
Well,
you're not just whistling Dixie there, let me tell you. All right, guys, let's get started. Showtime. Raleigh Romero versus Ismael Barroso for the vacant WBA welterweight, junior welterweight WBA vacant title. Beep. When Barroso came out, and I got a look at him, they said he was 40. If he's 40, I'll give you my paycheck for the next 6 weeks. There is no way. I will bet my paycheck. There is absolutely no way that guy is 40. I don't care what the records say. He is the most shot-out 40-year-old I've ever seen in my life. That guy looks like he's at least 55. I don't know if he just goes 10, but he looks bad. He looked old, man. I mean, 55 at the youngest. That's on the low side.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be 54 in December, so I don't want to, like, you know, be an ageist here, but he did look old.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Yep. I mean, you're starting to show your age, buddy. Let me tell you what.
I had to get up there. Look at the grays.
Look at the grays.
Well, there's really not too many there. You're right.
I love how you're the oldest guy on the panel, and I look the oldest. Everybody would say, I think I look older than Barroso last night, you know? Let's talk about Raleigh Romero here for a second, Beeb. When was the last time he fought?
Almost a year ago, right?
Right, and what happened in that fight?
Got knocked out.
Okay, so Raleigh Romero got knocked out right around maybe a year ago, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, who knows. That was his last fight. He was knocked out cold, right?
Yeah.
How is it that now he's fighting for the WBA Junior Welterweight Championship in his next fight against a 55-year-old man?
One, two, three. The name is called PBC. And if you want to get to the tip top, pay off the sanctioning body. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean, like, really? And I don't know Ismael Barroso as far as, like, what his last fights look like or what he won or what he didn't win. I don't know. But I know Raleigh's. And I know I cannot believe that you got offered a title fight on your next shot out after being KO'd. And that fight was never in doubt. That fight was never in doubt with Tank. I mean, give me a break, will you? All that being said, Raleigh Romero beats Ismael Barroso by TKO in the ninth round. Raleigh was down on all three scorecards at the time of the knockout. All three. Barroso was outboxing Romero throughout the fight. Knocked Raleigh down early, but credit to Romero, man, he stayed with it, and he caught Barroso in the ninth. You know, I tell you what, Raleigh, you know who he reminded me of yesterday when he was fighting? Do you remember Derek Gaynor? Derek Gaynor, the Roy Jones prodigy or whatever. And every time you would see him fight, he would look exactly like Roy Jones, where he would throw one punch and then run around the ring You know what I mean? And Roy Jones was much better than Derek Gaynor. Don't get me wrong. He was like a cheap imitation. He was like Roy Jones light, you know? Yeah. And that's what yesterday reminded me of. Why was Raleigh with this power and everything like that, was just constantly moving, constantly running. He didn't want to engage. He didn't want to, you know, it didn't seem like he really wanted to mix it up. There was times, like in the fourth round, he would step in, mix it up. But then fifth round, he runs again. So go ahead.
You know what? I was thinking, and I was kind of thinking this morning when I was thinking about the fight. And after what he said at the end of the fight, that Barrasso, he was concerned about Barrasso's power. You know, he even said that Barrasso hit harder than Tank. He's like saying all these crazy things. You know what I'm saying? Now what I was saying to myself is, could it be possible that this guy's a little bit gun-shy now after being stopped for the first time in his career?
That's what I was – that's exactly what I was
saying. You thinking the same thing?
Absolutely.
Man, maybe he's a little gun-shy.
You know, you think about it. You think about, you know, you go through life and you're on top of the world and you're knocking everybody out. You're doing this. You're doing that. And then – because nobody can stop you now. You know, no one can stop you. And then you get in the ring against the big dog and you get stopped. Your confidence has got to be shaken. This was a confidence builder fight here, right? And this, I tell you what, I wouldn't have had confidence from this fight.
Well, let me just use an example. And I hate to always bring up examples about myself, but
what's the matter with you?
Remember about 2 years ago? It's the weirdest thing, because I used to love dogs as a kid. I would always pat them, hold them. Remember that time I told you that poodle about 2 years ago bit us?
Yes.
That left me traumatized, because every time now I see a dog, I kind of pull away a little bit now, because I've never been bitten in my life.
Bit you.
I know, but I've never been bitten in my life, and that poodle pierced my sweatpants and actually gave me a puncture wound in my left buttocks. I had to go get rabies shots and everything. I was never the same. So once something happens to you that you're not used to happening to you, it kind of changes you. Ever since that day, I kind of pull back when the dogs come up to me a little bit now. That's sad.
Anywho.
pretty sad though, right?
It is very sad. It is very sad. We actually got a dog this weekend. We actually got a new puppy this weekend.
Really?
Another Yorkshire. Right. I like the English dogs. Name them Manny.
I like dogs. But ever since then, I kind of...
You got to have trained dogs though.
Can't I'm a little bit hesitant now.
You can't have aggressive.
I don't go all the way in. Go all the way in with, baby, how you doing, boy? I'm a little bit.
The little ones are the worst. Now. The little ones are the worst.
Yeah, they're the most vicious. They're the bravest.
Yeah. Those little chihuahuas and stuff, they're the worst.
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst. Let's see here. So Romero caught him in the ninth round. Barrasso got back up, and he looked a little hurt. I mean, nothing crazy.
He was buzzed.
All right, the two continued to fight, and for whatever reason, Tony Weeks had apparently seen enough and decided to stop the fight. He stopped the fight while Barrasso was in mid-punch, punching back. They were punching each other when the fight was stopped. It was 100% the worst stoppage that I've ever seen, period, in a fight. I mean,
yeah.
It really was that bad. Typically, when you see a stoppage you don't agree with, you know, you can at least see where the ref was coming from. You know, he's got to make a snap decision. You can at least see where the ref was coming from. You may not always agree, but you can at least make a case for the stoppage. You know what I mean? You can at least make a case for it. I can't make a case for this. Tony Weeks shouldn't be reffing. I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Weeks' bank account is a little heftier than it was yesterday. I'll be honest, man. I always tell people fighters at this level aren't going to take a dive because it just doesn't make financial sense. Because if they win the fight, the championship money and everything like that, they're just going to get, you know, it doesn't make financial sense to take a dive when if I win, you know, the you know, I can go to the moon here with the money, you know. But the judges, the refs, it does make financial sense for them. And in case you're wondering, yes, I am accusing Tony Weeks of stopping that fight on purpose. Absolutely. No questions asked. And until he can prove otherwise, I'm always going to say that. I would never let Tony Weeks referee any of my fights. If I'm a manager, a fighter, I would not let Tony Weeks near my guys. No way.
Contact the legal team and have them on deck just in case we get hit with a defamation suit, please.
And we might get hit with a defamation.
We want to be protected on this one. All right, thank you. It's crazy you say that because I'm hearing people say that that was one of the worst stoppages they've seen in recent years. And just like yourself, I'm going to go one further. That is the worst stoppage I've seen in my 40 years watching this sport. I've never seen a worse stoppage than that, at least not that I can remember. The worst stoppage I've ever seen.
It was awful.
Horrible.
It was
horrible.
I mean, really, like, what else am I to, you know, what else am I going to take for that stoppage? What else can I take from that? Raleigh was more hurt on his knockdown, you know, and there was no move to stop the fight. There was no move when, I mean, he was fighting back. I can't even see anywhere where you could say that fight should have been stopped. Has anybody interviewed Tony Weeks after that?
He wouldn't allow them to.
Of course.
He ran.
Well,
I love Steve Smoger.
It was a
I love Steve Smoger because Steve Smoger, when I was covering an event, he let me interview him. He didn't run away from me. May he rest in peace. He's one of the best referees, if not the best referee of all time. He doesn't hide. He lets you talk to him. That's a real referee right there.
God awful stoppage, and the fact that the NSAC and Weeks refused to talk was an indictment on them. I agree. That fight, I'll tell you right now, that fight, I'm telling you, I don't say this often, and I would never say this, you know, and again, I'm not sure I'm talking. This is just my opinion on it. He got paid. No question.
I'm usually the one.
You're usually the guy.
I'm usually that
guy.
But I'm the conspiracy guy.
But I tell you what, he looked to me like he got paid last night to stop that.
Someone put in your Cheerios this morning. You're never like this. I must be rubbing off on you, and that's not a good thing.
You're telling me. Let me tell you what. I tell you, you know, I have never seen, I really have never seen anything like that. You know? If you talk about Raleigh's performance, this was supposed to be a complete highlight reel for Raleigh here. To fight this guy, I mean, again, man, this guy looked like he was about 55 years old in there. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. And he's sitting there, he's pressing the action, he's winning rounds. Raleigh is running like his life depends on it.
Jesse asks a very interesting question in the chat, and I think it's a fair question. That fight went on. Was that the turning point for Raleigh, do you think?
We'll never know.
He got robbed of that opportunity, but he could quite possibly could have been a turning point for him, right?
I think so. Yeah, it could have been. And now he was robbed of getting that knockout, the fair way. Even Raleigh after the fight, because you can't really blame him. He didn't do anything. He just did what he was told. He went out there and fought. He did his job. You know, he said the fight shouldn't have been stopped. I mean, he was surprised the fight was – everybody was surprised the fight was stopped. What are you doing? Like, really? I mean, you know, I've heard of bad days at the office, but come on, man. That wasn't a bad day at the office. You had a couple of knockdowns in that fight. It's going, and then all of a sudden you decide to stop it? What? It makes – let me tell you what. It makes no sense. None.
It's horrible, man.
And I tell you, you know, if you see Weeks again in a big fight, you know that he got the bag. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? You see Weeks again in a championship fight, you know he took some money.
Shame, man.
No questions about it. No questions about it. How did you think Raleigh looked? Because I thought he looked awful. I didn't think he looked great at all. I thought he was gun shy was the word you used.
Yeah, he's probably really suffering from confidence issues after that knockout from Tank.
Yeah.
And then he got knocked down again. In the fight, he probably had flashbacks, right? So, and then he's supposed to fight O'Hara Davies next. They had an agreement that he's going to be the next guy. Something tells me, though, I have to be honest, something tells me that some crazy reason we're probably going to get Raleigh versus Ryan Garcia. He called him out at the end of the fight, too.
That's a good fight. You know what? I don't care. That's a good fight. I like that fight. I like it for both of them. I really do.
Yeah.
Because Ryan needs some get back after that, you know, and he needs to collect himself. Raleigh's a big name, bigger name, not a big name, but enough to draw your attention to him. Alexander Wilson, thank you so much, my friend. He said the Raleigh knockdown was a push, too. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. That was absolutely a push. Absolutely. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. It just I was really disappointed in the way Raleigh looked. I mean, after seeing this guy fight, because we've watched him for quite a while now, we've seen a lot of his fights, and then we've seen him fight Tank, and I think I was the only one that was excited about that fight, you know, because I said, man, this guy can hit, and, you know, this guy wants to fight. Nobody else, everybody's calling Tank out, but nobody wants to fight Tank. He finally stepped in there and fought him. And he did okay. He did okay. He didn't win the fight, obviously. He wasn't up on the scorecards or anything like that. He did okay. But, you know, now he comes back and you say, okay, what next? He looked completely gun-shy. His confidence is shot. Ryan Garcia, you know, is suffering from the same problem.
Yeah.
You know, they both got Tank sweepstakes and then both got knocked out. So this is a very good, I think it's a very good fight. I really do. Obviously, I favor Garcia in this fight. You should.
Everyone does.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna be the A side. He's going to be the favorite in the fight. But is Raleigh able to collect himself and go forward? I don't know. Because he's got the knockout last night, but he knows he didn't knock the guy out. You weren't even winning the fight.
No.
I don't know what that does to you mentally as far as, yeah, I won, but, you know, like he won, but it was kind of robbed of his moment, and he should have had his moment.
Yeah.
And if that ninth round was a turning point, he should have had his moment. And Tony Weeks robbed him of that moment. That's why Tony Weeks should never referee again. No question in my mind. None.
Horrible.
I guarantee he took money for that fight. Guaranteed. And if Tony wants to talk about it, he can come to me. There you go.
It's a shame.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What's the WBA has these two guys fighting for their vacant junior welterweight title. What is going on in the WBA?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, really?
The whole situation with Pulio now, too, after testing positive, he's still champion in recess now. He's not even stripped officially or suspended, so.
Just get rid of the drug testing. I mean, honestly, get rid of it. Get rid of it, because the only people who use the drug testing like it should be used is the UFC. The UFC, if you test positive, you're out.
Yeah.
You're not fighting, you know.
Yeah.
Here, we can test positive 50 different, you know, we have 50 different ways, but we might find a loophole here. We might have, you know, this or that, or, you know, I mean, come on, man. Like, why are we testing for drugs if we're not going to enforce it? Why?
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you're not going to enforce it, just lift the ban, lift the drug sanctioning, man. Lift that whole thing off and let them guys fight. Go back to the way it was, where everybody accuses you of being on steroids or whatever.
Yes. I guess Pulio was tested positive for clomiphene, the same as
who's
Conor Bannon.
Player or who was it?
Pulio.
Pulio, okay.
Yeah. They're saying he tested positive for clomiphene, just like Conor Ben did, trace amount. So they're trying to say that maybe
coffee. It's coffee. Yeah.
Maybe they're saying now that it's an issue with the testing or something.
Right, of course.
So
they put the system on trial. Yeah, let's see.
And it's funny too, because everyone's okay with the testing until something happens to them.
Sure.
You know, so.
Sure. And you know, Canelo was eating tainted beef, and that's why, you know, but he served a 6 months. They made an example of him, and he served 6 months. Great. You know, and then everybody else was, they were eating tainted meat. And then what was the coffee thing? What did Conor Ben say? He was drinking too much coffee or something like that, or eating too much eggs?
No, he was the one that ate eggs, and then Oscar Valdez said he was drinking tea for the fentanyl.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up. You have any idea how much tea and eggs he'd have to drink to test positive on a test?
Yeah.
And these guys buy it. And these guys go ahead and buy it. Well, he's right. Technically, he's right. Stop it.
That's tough.
I don't get it, man.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
Go to Dunkin' Donuts and eat an egg McMuffin. You can test positive for clomiphene.
Right, exactly.
What the fuck is this world coming to? Right?
I mean, really, like, come on, man.
They make up Bernard Hopkins being accused of putting testosterone cream on Tank Davis at the freaking weigh-in.
Lord. That might have been the worst. It's like, number one, Hopkins shouldn't have been touching anybody. You're a big fight. You've been in this weigh-in thing a long time. You're trying to rattle Tank. Listen, just stay away.
You don't touch people.
You don't touch people. Hands on anybody.
He's known for doing that because he even said during his weigh-in with Felix Trinidad, he went and pinched his stomach. And he said, the reason why I did that was I wanted to see if I can get a reaction out of him. And he didn't do anything to me. He let me do it. So right then and there, I know I had a psychological advantage over him. But Tank's not going to let you touch him. Most people aren't going to let you touch him like that. You know what I'm saying? So
the funny thing is, like, I don't know that he had a psychological advantage over him. You know, I mean, that's just you trying to project your, you know what I mean? Because he pinched him and he didn't get a reaction.
Yeah, it's just long.
Well, if he would have got a reaction, he would have said he was in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's you pumping yourself up.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
You're trying to, like, boost up your own confidence.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's really all it is, you know.
That's what I think anyways.
But, you know, to accuse somebody of putting, like, testosterone cream, like, stop it. Just stop it. That's just dumb.
That
goes along with those egg weights, the egg weights and the gloves and everything like that, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dumb. Man, it was a tough night for our boy last night, man. Omar El Relampago Juarez versus Rancis Bartholomew. Bartholomew wins a unanimous decision over Juarez, 95-all, majority decision, excuse me, 95-95, 97-93, and 98-92. Steve, why did Omar lose this fight? And is this a fight he could have won?
It was a close fight, but the big thing is he was having a hard time consistently closing the distance from Bartholomew. He was putting the pressure on him, but Bartholomew was always able to kind of find a way to get space. And when he had a distance between the two of them, Bartholomew was just too quick from the outside. The big thing for Juarez was the pressure, just not letting Bartholomew breathe, pushing him back, not letting him, you know, be able to move, cutting the ring off, trapping him. And not allowing him to move, to stick and move like he likes to do.
Yeah.
Take him out of his comfort zone. He was able to do that for portions of this fight. He just couldn't do it consistently, and that's where he came up short. And it was a very competitive fight, close fight, but he just did not do enough. He couldn't sustain the pressure. And like you said, Bartholomew's got a lot of experience. He's a very cagey, crafty guy, and it's hard to pin him down.
And what is Reyes? What is he, 37? 35, 37, somewhere in there?
He's up there.
He's a little bit
he's
older, right? Yeah.
He's up there.
And that's another one, man, where, you know, that guy is so tough to pin down, and I don't care how much pressure you put on him, man, he's a good boxer. I mean, he just is. You know, you got to go to that guy's body if you can get there. You know, if you can catch him and get there. You know, because he'll shoot and move all day long on you. That's his style. He's been doing that for years. He's a brilliant fighter, man. And I really wanted Omar to win, again, friend of the show. But at least he put up a good account of himself.
We had him on a couple times. Right?
He's
a really
great
nice guy.
Great guy. Goes and gives talks to schools and everything like that.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah. I hate having him on here, though, because it like just reminds me how inadequate I am. You know, this guy goes to schools and talks, and, like, he's, like, you know, 20, 25, or 20, what is he, 22 years old or something like that? He's a young
guy. He's, like, 23, 24, something like that.
Super young guy, man, and he's, like, doing all this stuff, and, you know, I'm like, man.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have it together like that when I was 22, did you?
This guy's mature beyond his years.
I don't have it together like that now, you know?
When I was 22, I was climbing through windows. Not proud of it, but.
What's the matter with you? ESPN, Janovic Alemkhanouli versus Stephen Butler for the WBO middleweight title. Alemkhanouli smashed Stephen Butler in two rounds. Janovic knocked him down three times in the third. This is a one-sided show, man. With the win, Janovic retains his middleweight title. Beeb, where do we go from here with this guy?
What's up with your boy Jack Reese? Every time someone gets knocked down, he asks them to kind of like play a game of Twister with all these instructions. Put your right hand over there. Put your left leg behind your back. It's like, dude, The guy is wobbling all over the place, okay? The more you make him move, the more he's going to wobble, right? Like, put two and two together. Oh, well, just because his legs aren't under him doesn't mean he's not all right cognitively upstairs here in the brain, right? No, he wasn't cognitively all right. He was flopping all over the place.
I think it does not mean only, that, actually, you know, I mean.
And not only once, but twice, not only twice, but three times, this guy was flopping all over the place. I found myself asking the question, you know, what did friggin' Butler do to Jack Reese that made Jack Reese want to just watch this guy get pummeled like that?
Get pummeled, yeah.
Like, what did he do to Jack Reese to make Jack Reese treat him that way?
And listen,
like, show no compassion or mercy to this guy.
And I get it. I get it in the sense that it's a title fight. I 100% get that. And we're going to give you a little bit more leeway than we probably would have gave you if it wasn't a title fight. But that's ridiculous.
Three times?
Yeah. Right. That's ridiculous. And I hate how he handles knockdowns. You know, okay, come over here, turn around, put your foot in, put your right foot out, you know. It's just ridiculous.
While you're at it, give me 10 jumping jacks.
Right, right,
like,
exactly.
What the fuck is this?
Do you know where you are? Do you know what the address is?
Put your glove onto your nose. Like, what is a fucking sobriety test, dude?
Right. Right, man.
Fuck out of here, man. Please.
It's insane. Where does Janibek go from here? Does he fight, does he fight for a unification? What does he do?
Nobody wants to fight this guy.
Can you blame him?
I feel bad for this guy.
He's another Golovkin is what he is. Is that nobody wanted to fight him in his prime. Once he started showing slippage, everybody's at the door.
That's when everyone wanted to fight him, yeah.
Prior to that, though, nobody's messing with that dude.
Yeah.
I would like to see him and Charlo go, but we're not going to get that. So,
Him and Munguia would be a great fight, too.
I think he would. Munguia.
And then Andre.
Washes Munguia.
I think he beats all of them, but then Andre didn't want to fight him when he was at 168. I guess he
move up. Yeah.
Janibek was Andre's mandatory.
Yeah.
He vacates the title and goes up to 168. Again,
I don't blame him. And where's he been since? What's Andre done since?
He had one stay busy fight from PBC, I guess, on the undercard of, what card it was. I think it was one of Tank's undercards. I think he was on the Tank Raleigh undercard, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, what undercard was he on? I'm trying to remember. So help me out in the chat. It was a while.
Yeah.
It was 8 months ago or something like that. He was on one undercard. I can't remember. But, yeah, he was in a stay busy fight.
Yeah.
And I'm not even embarrassed that I don't even know, because that's how irrelevant the fight was.
Right.
No disrespect to the guy, but I'm sorry. I mean.
All right, let me see. I got him right here. Hold on. Against Devon Nicholson, one at 167 or whatever. This was on January 7th.
Yeah. That was on the Tank Hector Garcia undercard, I think. That's the one it was on. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was on the Tank Hector Garcia. Yeah, someone in the chat just verified it. Yeah, that was the last time he fought in January. I guess it was on the Tank. On the Tank Hector Garcia undercard.
That's the thing, though. Like, you know, he fights these guys, you know, like, they're all sharp. You know, when you get to this level, man, they're all sharp as knives. But if you wait, and you just wait and wait, and nobody fights anybody, you just fight guys that aren't as good as you, you got to start to lose some of those skills, no?
I think so. And then eventually, too, if you fight a specific level of opposition and you stay at that level, you know, steel sharpens steel. You're not, like you said, you're not getting sharper by fighting that specific level. You've got to step it up.
Right.
Because you're never going to know how really good you are if you don't step up your competition, right?
Yeah, exactly, man.
I would think.
And money. I mean, you get that. You're getting more money. You're getting everything. It's just, you know, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Jason Maloney versus Vincent Astrolabio. I don't know. Okay. WBO bantamweight title. In an uneventful fight, Jason Maloney beats Vincent Astrolabio by majority decision, 114 all, 115-113, and 116-112. From what I understand, the fight had a lot of boos coming from the audience in it. But you liked it. You thought it was good.
I thought it was a good performance from Maloney. A lot of people didn't like it. I thought he boxed well. I liked how he moved. I liked how he went in and out. He was very defensively responsible. I just thought he did a lot of good work here. You know, I thought he did a bit of everything. I thought it was counterpunching. I thought it was working off his jab very well. I thought, you know, he would punch and then he wouldn't stand right there in front of him. He would give him angles. I just thought it was an all-around solid performance. And I just liked how he was very disciplined in this fight. You know, he wasn't over-anxious. He didn't take unnecessary chances. But he was still landing some good right hands in this fight. I thought it was a solid performance.
Yeah.
I thought it was a solid performance overall. Yeah, I just think he utilized his boxing ability and his experience in this fight. I thought it was an overall solid performance. Now, some people, they wanted him to go in there and brawl with Astrabio, but why do that? You know what I mean? You want to win the title, right? So win rounds. Don't put yourself in there to get, you know, I know you want to please the fans, but at what extent do you want to please the fans, you know, at the risk of putting yourself in unnecessary danger and taking unnecessary risks and just being defensively irresponsible? And I think that's what happened. Like, we've seen him before kind of go toe-to-toe with guys, and this was a fight where he said, you know what, this is the third time's a charm. I want to win the world title, and I'm just going to box. I'm going to do what I have to do to win this time. This one's for me.
Yeah.
This one's for me. And the next one will be for you guys.
Yeah, that's good.
So I give him credit.
Yeah.
I give him credit for that. You know,
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I think I actually misspoke last for the Janabek fight. He beat Steve Butler in two rounds. And I think I said Janabek knocked him down three times in the third. That's three times in the second. So I apologize about that. I think Hamed in the chat pointed that out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. Right.
He got really
me. Come on, Hamed. Give me a
but Hamed. Hamed is good at fact-checking. I give him credit for that.
I love him.
Sometimes
we have that.
Sometimes he helps me out. He helps me out sometimes, too. I'm getting old. I forget things myself, so I don't understand. Why we take Ginkgo biloba over here. We endorse that.
We love Ginkgo. That's right.
Fish oils, everything to help the brain.
God, I like the fish oil. All right, guys. So let's talk about this. May 20th, upcoming fights. Devin Haney versus Vasily Lomachenko, 12 rounds for Haney's undisputed lightweight championship. Oscar Valdez versus Adam Lopez on the undercard, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. Junto Nakatani versus Andrew Maloney, 12 rounds for the vacant WBO junior bantamweight title. And that's going to be on ESPN pay-per-view. I don't know if I told you this either. Nico Walsh Ali is on that card against the dreaded TBA.
Oh, Jesus.
If you didn't know, and I don't know how many of you guys even know about this, he likes to keep it under wraps. And ESPN, for whatever reason, never mentions it, that Nico Walsh Ali is actually the grandson of Muhammad Ali. So if you guys didn't know that, I mean, you can blame ESPN because they never mention it, ever. I've never heard that before. I want to fill you guys in. That's why I'm here. You know, there you go. Let's see here. From Dublin, Ireland on May 20th on DAZN, Chantel Cameron versus Katie Taylor, who cares? And there's two other chicks fighting on the undercard. Cecilia Breakhouse is one of them. Nobody cares. All right. Beeb, do you care about that fight? You don't care about that fight, do you? No, he doesn't care. I know it's Mother's Day. Listen, I know it's Mother's Day. I know it's Mother's Day. But come on.
I like the Katie Taylor fight.
Do you?
She's one of my favorites.
Tough fight, huh? They're going to fight for 20 minutes and then crown a champion? Is that what they're going to do?
Yeah.
20 whole minutes.
Much to your dismay, that's exactly what's going to happen.
20 whole minutes to crown a champ.
Every time you say that.
After 20 minutes of fighting.
You know what that's like? I try to pump the fight up. I get excited for it. It's a good matchup, right? And then you just like let that air right out of the balloon. You say it's only a 20-minute fight. You know?
Only 20 minutes?
2-minute round.
You can do the treadmill for longer than 20 minutes. You know? I know. 20 minutes, really? That's, you know.
I can walk to the bakery down the street, pick up a slice. By the time I come back, I mean, the fight would be over, right?
Well, hopefully it'd be over. I mean, nobody wants to stick around for that. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, so bad.
I mean, who wants to stick around for that? You know what I mean? Like, of course.
That's hilarious. Do it every time. It's a good fight, Eric. What, 20 minutes?
20 minutes. Like, yeah. 20 minutes.
You're right.
That's a 20-minute intermission. Yeah, that's like the go-to-the-fridge time. Like when the women come out, we got to go to the fridge or something like that. Or, you know, got to do something else. Maybe go to the bathroom or whatever. You know, you're not going to miss anything.
That's how much longer than a quarter in football, right?
Right. Yeah, I only watch Ebony Bridges, and I only watch her on OnlyFans. So there you go.
Jesus.
Notorious if Katie Taylor could lose. Yeah, okay. Who cares? Is anybody for real watching that fight? Anybody in the chat for real watching that fight? Because I don't know anybody here who's watching that fight. Even Bede is not watching that fight. Even Bede is not watching that fight. You see, if he wanted to, he put his hand up. He didn't put his hand up. You know what I mean? So what am I going to do? Nobody's watching that fight, son. Come on.
Okay, you're even convincing the people in the chat that they're not watching.
Yeah, Ron,
you're a horrible influence.
Hey, listen, it is what it is. I thought, you know, I mean, I said, hey, this is the way you promote it. I still don't want to watch it. You know what I mean? I don't like it. I don't like purple cards, but I don't like this either. You know? I don't know why. It's just my preference. King KO says Taylor Cameron is a decent fight, but Cameron will beat her up.
Yeah.
Cares. Lily 4554 says my wife says 20 minutes is a long time.
Wow. A little too much info.
Oh, Tone says not cool, Eric. Not cool. Just saying, I'm just stating facts. Are they fighting longer than 20 minutes? If they fight longer than 20 minutes, you come talk to me, okay? For a title fight.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. That's why when you look at MMA, and I hate to make these comparisons, but that's why the female MMA fights and the fighters, they get a lot more attention. They're more popular.
Fighting the same
They do the same thing.
And I tell you what, I'll watch Amanda Nunes any time of day, man.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, whatever. Centurion, give me a break. Eric, watching female boxing is better than watching female football. Sorry, no, it's not, son. Trust me.
Tell him that.
Not even close.
He's not trying to hear that.
No.
He's not trying to hear that.
Tony Ayo says, I'm waiting for the Heather Hardy fight.
That fight is, I'm not looking forward to that. I have zero anticipation for that fight.
What is the Heather Hardy? Who's she fighting?
She's fighting Amanda Serrano again.
Who cares?
After Amanda Serrano. It's not a good fight.
She's fighting Amanda Serrano again?
Yeah.
Didn't
Instead
she get
of Amanda
smashed?
Serrano.
Did she get smashed by Amanda Serrano?
She most certainly did, yes.
And then we got to see this fight again. You know why?
Because
ain't nobody fighting in the women's division. Go to BoxRec. There's like five girls in that division. They all got to fight each other 50 times. Ridiculous.
That's horrible.
I'm telling you. What they do. Get Robbie on here. Robert, ringside Robert, you're live.
Hello,
Robert,
guys.
Can you do me a favor?
Oh, here we go. What's up, Joe?
Can you put Mrs. Herrick on the phone so I can wish her a happy Mother's Day?
Yeah, hey, Robert, tell your mom I said happy Mother's Day.
No, just this one time. Just tell her it's for happy Mother's Day.
What's the matter?
Happy Mother's Day. Just tell her I want a happy Mother's Day.
She's actually out shopping, guys. That's how she's spending her Mother's Day. She wants to go shopping.
You sent her to the store for groceries on Mother's Day?
Bobby said, I want peanut butter and jelly for dinner, and I'm not making it, son. You got to go.
What
no,
is wrong with you, kid?
No, hey, Joe, we're actually ordering
you
dinner.
You sent her out to get you a box of Captain Crunch to make sure you have breakfast cereal in the morning on Mother's Day?
On Mother's Day, son.
Christ,
you sent her to the store on Mother's Day, son.
No,
she
can drive on her own. I didn't send her anywhere, guys.
You probably made her take an Uber.
No. No, she drives. Anyway, look, I happen to, I don't know how I feel about this. I want all boxers to fight under the same rules. And I've advocated for years, if women are going to fight, they need to fight under the exact same rules as the men. Okay, you want to have 12.
Oh, come on, Robert.
You want to have 12 rounds.
Give these girls a break already.
No,
that's not what you
Eric.
Were telling me the other day on the phone.
Yeah, give these girls a break
you
already.
Two
come
minute
on.
Rounds. Now you just want to agree with Eric.
You do.
No, I don't understand you sometimes. I don't understand you sometimes.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
You were telling me you love the two-minute rounds.
No, I do not. I hate them.
You love
I hate them. I hate the two-minute rounds. Look, I miss the days where men used to fight for 45 minutes for a title, okay?
Oh.
I mean, 15 rounds. I miss those days.
People were
okay?
dying. That's why they changed it.
Of course they were dying.
You're savage.
Next you're going to be telling me that you want to go back to the bare knuckle days. Come on, what's wrong?
No.
What being so primal?
But no, seriously, I'm more than willing to take women seriously when it comes to boxing if they fight under the same rules.
Oh, but you never took women seriously. That's why I'm not even going to go there. But you never took women seriously.
Give me a break. Never mind. I won't go there either. But no, seriously, if women want to be taken seriously in this sport, then the commissions need to have them fight under the same rules. I'm not a UFC person, but from what I understand, the UFC makes everybody fight 5 rounds, 5 minutes each. Okay, if women can do that in the cage, then why can't the hell they do it in boxing? Okay?
Wow.
Serious.
You
now,
want blood, don't you, kid?
Now, let's get to last night's fiasco with both Tony Weeks and Jack Reese. Both of these guys have obviously reffed for too long. Number one, Tony Weeks, you had no business stopping that fight last night. None whatsoever. I mean, there was no justification. Yeah, the guy got knocked down. Yes, he was buzzed. He was a little hurt. But you know what? He was actually fighting back. If you wanted to stop it, you should have stopped it when the guy got knocked down. But no, you have to wait until they actually got action going and step in the middle of them and say, okay, I've seen enough. Give me a break. Jack Reese, what are you, a highway patrolman or are you a boxing referee? It's not like you pull somebody over and you make them get out of the car and do a DUI test. You either stop the fight or you let them continue. These guys are driving me crazy.
Guess what,
Eric? Guess where the Lomachenko-Devin Haney fight is taking place on Saturday? It's in Las Vegas, Nevada. Is Tony Weeks going to screw that up too?
Is Tony Weeks a ref?
I don't know if he's a ref.
But
is
Tony Weeks?
He works.
Let me tell you what.
Nevada
if Tony Weeks is a ref,
athletic.
I'm telling you, he got paid. Yeah, you know, I get that. But
Tony Weeks ran back to the hotel room, threw all his clothes in as fast as he could in the suitcase, and he jetted out of there. From what I understand,
I already took a private plane home.
And, you know, another referee that's terrible is Kenny Bayless these days. I mean, some of these guys have reffed for too long.
Is he still reffing?
Yeah.
Is he really?
If you get within 2 inches of a fighter, right, if you're fighting and you get within 2 inches of your opponent, he runs in there and breaks you even before you clinch.
Yeah.
He doesn't let you fight on the inside.
Because remember, guys, he refereed the David Benavidez Caleb Plant fight, and he kept breaking those two up. You're holding.
While David was punching.
Exactly.
While David was punching out of the clinch.
Yeah.
Then I hear people say, David can't fight out of the clinch. He can when you let him.
Yeah. No.
If you break him every time when David came close to him and he had one arm, Caleb Plant grabbed one arm and David was punching with the free hand, Kenny Bayless ran in there and broke him. He wouldn't let him finish punching him.
I have almost reached the point, guys, where any time now a fight is in the state of Nevada, I have to worry about whether we're actually going to get a good fight or not, depending on who the referees are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's terrible because Las Vegas is known as the entertainment capital of the world, and they're known for putting on good fights. But it's almost time for them to retire a few of their referees and get some new blood in there.
You need to call the commission, Robbie.
Yeah.
Why
don't you get off the couch and start doing something about it?
Believe me, I would love
to. Instead of talking about it.
I'd love to.
You're right there. You're right in the thick of it. right in Frisco, buddy.
No,
right there.
You're about two hours away.
2 hours. Be right there.
I'm a good airplane flight away from Vegas. Yes, I am.
Yeah, see? I'm 4 hours away from Vegas over here.
You can jump in the station wagon with Mrs. Herrick. You'll be there in a little over 2.5 hours.
Very
no, no, no. It's, it takes
she,
a hell of a lot longer than that.
Not the way
you,
she drives.
You forget how big California is, brother.
Jason says, great job by Tony Weeks.
Oh, of course he would. He's a PVC dude.
Eric Jason Cruz says, Raleigh should fight KSI next.
No, you know what? If the WBA had any cojones, they would rematch that fight and make sure that it wasn't anywhere near Nevada.
Oh, come on! You're messing with the whole state now.
Of course.
Nevada with you.
All
right. Who do you like, Lomachenko or Haney?
No, I like Devin Haney, and I like him big. I think it's going to be a 9-3, 10-2 kind of fight. I think he dominates him.
Should I bet the decision proposition next week, Robbie? Haney by decision?
Yeah, he's not. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't know what the odds are, but yeah, that's the way I would go. That's a seal of approval from Robbie.
I'm done.
No, I think, look, I didn't realize Devin Haney's got a 5.5 or 6 inch reach advantage, and he's got, at least a 3 or 4 inch height advantage. There's no way Lomachenko is going to be able to get on the inside. I can guarantee this. Next Sunday, people are going to call up and say how boring that fight was because there's not going to be enough action for some people.
People are going to call up and say Lomachenko was a hype job.
Why are you jinxing it? Are they going to say he was too old?
It was a hype job. Loma was a hype job. I told you from the beginning he ain't never fought nobody, blah, blah, blah.
But honestly, because of the size disadvantage here, I don't see how Lomachenko can do anything effective. He's a good fighter. He's been one of the best fighters. But they put him in against somebody that he has no chance of beating. None. And that's too bad for him because he's one hell of a fighter. But he's got no chance of winning this fight.
Cold-blooded, Robert. Cold-blooded. I don't like
that's the way I am, brother. That's the way I am.
The way Robbie's talking, why would he even show up next week if he can't win? The way Robbie's talking.
He's got to show up for his paycheck, okay? Got to show up for the paycheck.
There you go.
All right. See you later.
All right, Robert. We'll keep you on. All right. Steve, where do the best calls come from?
Ohio.
Ohio, baby, 419, Toledo, you're live.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? This is Raphael 32 calling out of Toledo.
Raphael.
Nacho, are you going to go to the Jared Anderson fight here in June?
Did he just call me Nacho?
My bad.
Eric.
Are you going to go?
Eric. I don't know. You know
are
what?
You
going to
go?
I think I might try. I might try to go to that. You know, I went to, when Easter fought in Toledo, I went to that one. I tried to go to the fights in Ohio, so I might try to make it out there. It just depends on when it is and all that other, whatever's going on and stuff like that.
And then you got Clarissa Shields fighting Hannah Gabriels at the Little Caesars Arena, which is a big deal because it's the first boxing event at Little Caesars Arena since it's been built. It's only been up for like 2.5-3 years. So that's really big.
That's amazing.
And
that's his first fight there. That's going to be the first fight there since it was built. It's hard to believe, man.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I just wanted to relay some things on you guys about the women's boxing. Savannah Marshall versus Derzhan Cruz at the AO Arena overseas. That's going to be a good fight because, you know, Derzhan Cruz is a little brutish. And Marshall is, you know, I like Marshall's style. She's a good fighter. You know, she just couldn't hang with Clarissa Shields. She's a very skilled fighter, and you only have about 10 or 12 women who are polished fighters who don't fight like women is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Oh,
He's right. He's right. There's a, you know, you Clarissa Shields is one of those people that can actually mm-hmm. fight. Katie Taylor is one that can actually fight. Serrano is one that can actually fight. But mm-hmm. you get a lot of them in there, man. And I tell you what, you can just see that there's miles of difference between them. Is mm-hmm. there anybody, let me ask you yes. this right now, is there anybody beat Shields?
No. I would like to see, okay. If anybody can do it, Savannah Marshall can, because that fight was real close, even though you heard Shields saying that, you know, she beat her unanimously. The fight was close. You know, everybody said the fight was close. Yeah. It was a great fight. So if anybody that can beat her, I see Savannah doing it. But other than that, you know, it's kind of hard. With women, it's kind of hard to predict, because they jump weights because they have to, for competition and to get paid money. So I want to say this. I want to say Al stole that fight. Al stole that fight. People were so pissed off at the arena. If you go to Fight Hub and look and look online, my man from Fight Hub, two chicks approached Coach Bullock and were mad as hell, calling them pussies and all that. They approached him. They got up in his face. It was somebody Jesus. From what'd you say?
That's crazy.
I was just saying, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go look at it on Fight Hub. And it was somebody from Barroso's camp. And the old girl called him a pussy and all that. It was back and forth. They started the shit, but that just goes to let you know how pissed everybody in that arena is. I love the show. I'm not going to stay on long. It's a few more points I want to say, but I'll save that for another day. And Loma wins. I believe Loma is winning. If he stays in the inside, like the caller before me was saying, it's going to be hard for him to get inside. Yeah, but if he walks Dev down, he'll be able to get inside. And one of those fights where he walked the fighter down, and which was one of his greatest fights to me, was Linares. You know, Linares dropped his ass, and he got up, and he fought on the inside and won the fight and knocked Linares out.
Okay. There you go. I told you the best calls come from Ohio, baby. That's what we do here.
All right.
That's what we do.
Thank you, man.
All right, my friend.
I'll be talking to y'all.
Take it easy. Sounds good, man.
All right, man.
Best calls are always from Ohio, babe.
There's a couple people in the chat picking Loma. I'm surprised, but hey, it makes it interesting.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, let's get those odds up here real quick, B, before we go into this and before I go back to the phones and everything like that. Let's get the odds up here. Can you do me a favor and pull that up for me, please?
Absolutely. Hold on real quick. Go to, give me 1 second. It shouldn't be too long. Right to FanDuel. I like FanDuel. I actually like FanDuel better than DraftKings.
I do. I like FanDuel. I like FanDuel's layout a little bit better.
I like the layout better. They have better odds, actually, too.
I was on the Kentucky Derby when it was on. FanDuel had the Kentucky Derby on it, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's see. All sports. So now we're going to go to the boxing. All right. So Devin Haney. Wow, this narrowed. Devin Haney's a minus 270. Lomachenko's a plus 200. Devin Haney was like as high as a minus 340.
Yeah, a lot of money coming in on Loma late. You know, when you start to look at this on Thursday and Friday is when that money's going to roll in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's when the money's going to roll in. So if there's money on Loma those days, those are the days to look at it, because those odds should fluctuate all week. Which I think if there's any real jump, those are the days. Thursday and Friday are the days you're going to see it. Especially after the weigh-in. After the weigh-in, you're really going to see it. You know what I mean? Because typically you really shouldn't bet anything until you see the weigh-in. Because you don't
Devin
have,
Haney,
you know.
Devin Haney to win by points, minus 165. Devin Haney to win by KO, plus 800.
Wow.
The draw is a plus 1,600. Shelly Lomachenko to win by points is a plus 330. Shelly Lomachenko to win by knockout is a plus 750. Will the fight go the distance? Yes, minus 460. No, plus 310. And I don't see an over-under for this yet. Group round betting. 7-8 win in rounds 1 through 3 plus 6,500. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's not knocking him out in the first three rounds.
7-8 and a win in between 4 and 6 plus 4,100. 7-9 plus 26. 10 through 12 plus 2,100. Vasily Lomachenko to win in rounds 1 through 3. Isn't this interesting? He's a plus 5,000 to win by rounds 1 through 3, but Devin Haney is a plus 6,500. Vasily Lomachenko to win in between rounds 4 and 6 is a plus 3,200. Wow. Crazy. Devin Haney to win. Devin Haney to win and round 3 to start. Devin Haney to win in round. Some of these odds are crazy. These boxing special things. I don't even know what this helps, but this. Some of this crazy stuff is.
You don't see an over-under there?
No, let me see if I can find over-under. I don't see it
okay. On
this site for some. Sometimes they don't have over-unders in this, but
yeah. They
have it on, like, other sites.
Right. Yeah, that's what I noticed. Like, other sites will have different stuff on there. Like, they'll have the same fight, but they'll have different ranges and stuff like that, different prop bets and that sort of thing. Well, let's go ahead, man.
Yeah,
let's break this fight down, man. Because, you know, on paper, as somebody said, on paper, this is a good fight. You're right. It's a great fight on paper. But I keep going back to the Teofimo fight. And you got to go back. Teofimo, his confidence was shaken against the Australian dude. What was that guy's name?
Kambosos.
Yeah, he was shaken against Kambosos or whatever. I get it. So he hasn't been the same since that loss. But going into fight Loma, he was on fire. And the one thing that I took, take everything else out of the fight, the one thing that I saw that I was like, whoa, was the size difference. Haney is huge. You know what I mean? When you look at Loma and you look at Haney, there's a huge size difference. When I saw those two in the ring, that was a big size difference. That has got to come into play there. I mean, you know, and Haney's bread and butter is what? Stick move, jab move. You know, he's not going to sit there and wind up with you. He's not going to fight on the inside if he doesn't have to. That's his game. Hit and not get hit. And he knows how to control range. He knows how to control all that. So, you know, honestly, I don't know. Like, is there a way for anybody picking Loma out there, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing here? I think that's the best way to approach this. Like, how does Loma be, if I'm going to ask you, because you're great at breaking down fights and strategies and everything like that, how does Loma, what does he have to do to win this fight?
A lot of people are looking at the second half of that Teofimo Lopez fight, and they're saying to themselves, what if Loma was able to do that earlier? Where he was kind of coming in from the angles, he was, you know, a lot of times what Lomachenko does is he moves from side to side, but I always find that he comes back to the center and then darts in. So you have to guess when he's going to stop and dart. It's not like he's coming in from the angle like Manny Pacquiao would step in and shoot in at an angle. For me, I always see him move straight in. But what he did in that fight was, and we've seen him do this. As someone else mentioned, against Linares, where he'll come forward. He'll become more aggressive. And the reason why it's surprising when he does it is, in the beginning, it's sort of like what Tank does. He lulls you into that false sense of security by kind of laying back.
Right.
And the commentators, like, he's collecting data. He's just being patient.
I hate when they say that. Yeah,
he's just being patient. He's trying to see if he can bait you into making a mistake, and then he's kind of picking up on your attack patterns and your rhythm or whatever. And then once he feels comfortable, then he puts his foot on the gas pedal and starts to go in. I think a lot of people think that he's going to be able to find his way to that mid range and take that length away from Devin Haney. And when he does take that length away from Devin Haney, they feel as though Devin Haney's not going to be able to get his offense going. And Lomachenko will just be darting in and out, ambush style like he normally does. Ba-da-da-da-da, boom. Ba-da-da-da-da, boom. You know, and I think that's what people are kind of banking on. They're kind of banking on seeing Loma do what he did to Tio in the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. and seeing him step on the gas and kind of walk back Linares, they for some reason, people aren't sold on Devin Haney. They think they go back to that Linares fight where he got buzzed, right? They think there's some fragility there to Devin Haney. And they think that Lomachenko will be that guy to expose it.
Well, I've told you for a long time that I think Devin Haney's a pound for pound right now. You know, and I understand he's not going to be pound. He's the best fighter in that division, period, end of story. And until somebody proves it wrong, I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? I mean, he is the best fighter in that division. I think he may be the best fighter pound for pound right now. You think about it. He's whitewashing guys. Nobody's coming close to this guy. But now he's got a real – this is the best guy he's ever fought. Lomachenko is the best guy. Was he two-time Olympic champion, Lomachenko? You know how difficult that is?
Very difficult.
You know how difficult that is? Two-time Olympic champion. You know? That's insane. That's craziness, man. His footwork is incredible. Everything about him is incredible. I'll tell you what else is. 35. Haney's 24. 11 years, man. 11.
He didn't look great in that Jermaine Ortiz fight either. I had him edging that fight. He won, but he had to come from behind to win that fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing. I understand where people are coming from. You know, he's good at tricking you and sneaking past you. In other words, like I told you, he hopping around and you know, it's almost like watching a pendulum swing and you're trying to time when it's going to stop to the center, right? You have to time when it's going to stop to the center, right? And that's how he is he's constantly jumping around, moving. Then you have to time when he's shooting in. And you can't always do that sometimes. A lot of people have difficulty doing that, but Teal was able to stop it. You know, he was able to time it and hit him with and keep him at bay with the jab. Now, for whatever reason, people don't think that Devin Haney's going to – no, I'm not going to say people. I'm going to say some people don't think Devin Haney's going to be able to do that. I think he will. I think Devin Haney's been looking sharp lately. I mean, people like to go back to an Linares fight, but I think in the JoJo Diaz fight, he more, you know, more than made up for that. Like, JoJo Diaz, in my opinion, is a tougher challenger than Linares, right? Maybe not hit as hard, but I thought he was more rugged, all-around better boxer at that point in his career, right? And I thought Devin Haney handled him perfectly. I thought Devin Haney handled Kambosos perfectly. He's a guy who likes to kind of get inside and rough you up a little bit and make the fight ugly. He likes to muck it up a little bit. Devin Haney was grabbing him and throwing him around, and he was becoming physical and not letting Kambosos be that rough and tumble guy on the inside like he likes to do, like he was able to do with his heel a little bit, right? So I think Devin Haney's matured. I think he's grown. I think he's fine-tuned a lot of his, attributes, some of the things that he's good at. I think he's kind of sharpened them up a little bit. And I think, you know, as he's gotten older and through experience, I think he's becoming a better fighter. I think, he's becoming more of a complete fighter, you know? So,
yeah.
Whereas Lomachenko, I think, is going in the other direction. So I think he's catching Lomachenko at the perfect time, in my opinion. I think that's what you're alluding to.
He's 35. And somebody in the chat just said 35 is he's still good. He's in his prime. No, he's not. 35 is not your prime. You're not prime at 35. Not in this sport.
Not generally.
Like a senior citizen in this sport. You know what I mean? It just is. Especially a guy with 24, as fast as he is.
I mean, Andre Ward retired at 30, what was he, like 33, 34 when he retired?
Something like that.
How many guys walk away when they're like, and they're still in their 30s?
Yeah, but he retired on top. He retired. He was best pound for pound, no question.
Yeah,
I've always had him. As long as he was fighting, he was the top pound for pound guy.
Yeah, you and I always liked him. A lot of people really weren't appreciative of Andre Ward. I always thought he was a great fighter. He was one of my favorites, to be honest.
Oh yeah, me too.
A lot of people don't like him. I like him.
He just
like
there was him something about him, man. Like I said, there was something the grit that he showed. He wasn't just a pretty fighter. What always got me is the skill that he showed. For as much skill as that guy had, he had just as much grit and toughness.
Just as much toughness to go along with it.
Right. And I don't care how you had that Kovalev fight scored. I don't care who you had winning. I had Kovalev winning. I know you had Ward winning. I don't care how you had the fight scored. You cannot say that he didn't tough that fight out, especially after that second round.
You
know,
when you watch the last six rounds of that fight, or even last seven rounds of that fight, that is a different fight. He
that
took
dog.
That fight over.
Yeah, he's a complete dog, man.
So yeah, he's a great fighter, man.
So let's break this down, man. Who has the advantage of strength in this fight? You know, to me, it's a no-brainer. I think Devin Haney is bigger, way bigger than Loma. I got to give the edge to Devin Haney. This is not even close for me.
I am going to say Devin Haney, but as I told you before we started today, before we went live, I was watching during one of those pre-fight shows, and I was watching Lomachenko squatting 225 pounds for reps. And that's a guy, I'm looking at him, I can't foresee him weighing more than 145 pounds, right? Walking around, and he's squatting 225 pounds for reps at 35 years old. That's, to me, that's impressive. So
I've got all these guys, all these championship caliber fighters, all the pro athletes, they all have different kinds of strength, man. It's a push-pull that they're constantly doing in the ring, in the gym, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's that push-pull with regular people, with other guys, not even the weight so much, is it's with the other guy. It gives you a different type of functional strength.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was gonna. Great word you just used there. That's what I was just gonna say. Devin Haney probably has more functional strength than Lomachenko. It's one thing moving weights, but it's one thing when you're in there locking up and trying to maneuver somebody and walk them back and push them back and force them back. So in that regard, I'm going to say Devin Haney because again, I was impressed with the way he was throwing George Kampoussis around that ring in those two fights. He was especially in the second fight. He was really walking him back and pushing him back.
One fight was he saw one round, he saw all the rounds, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about speed. Now, to me, I got to edge this to Haney. Loma's going to have a lot of trouble with the jab. I really believe that. And he's also going to have a lot of trouble with the foot speed of Devin Haney. Now, I know Loma's fast feet. I understand that. And his footwork is like second to none. He's got I think he has better footwork than Haney. But speed-wise, I think Haney's got this all over him.
I would say Haney as well.
Yeah.
I'd give Haney this strength and speed, both.
Boxing ability. This is a push for me. I think both guys have great boxing ability. If this was Loma a couple of years ago, it might be a different animal, but it's not. And so the boxing ability, I think Devin has kind of, like I said, reached that plateau, reach that place where he's now a champion level fighter. You know what I mean? He's not coming up anymore. He's the undisputed champion, period. So I have to edge this. I think it's, like I said, man, it's, to me, it's a push. Both guys are good, but you kind of wonder, I don't know.
I hate to sound like Robbie, but I'm going to have to say it's pretty much even too, right? Because they both are masters at their styles. Right.
I mean, boxing ability, you don't win two gold medals if you don't know what you're doing. And you don't win two gold medals seeing one style. You see 50,000 different styles. You see, there's not a style you can walk in that ring and give him that he's not going to know.
The only problem, though, that you fall into with this category is, given Devin Haney's size, his boxing style would probably be more effective against Lomachenko using his style. But that still doesn't mean that Lomachenko doesn't have a high level of boxing ability. So, I'll give it a push, too. I'll cop out on this one,
Boxing
I hate
IQ.
Doing that.
No, that's all right, man. Boxing IQ. For me, this is real easy. But still, Lomachenko has only lost a handful of fights in his career, amateur or pro. We've seen him make fools out of high-level pros, man. I remember the Rigondeaux fight. When I'm watching this, I still can't believe it, because Rigo was like one of the best guys I had ever seen as far as knowing how to box, moving, getting out of the way, and he just made a fool of that guy. Boxing IQ, he's got the ability to adjust. I got to give that to Loma.
I'll give it to Loma, too. And, when you bring up that Rigondeaux fight, it's funny because everyone was like saying, why doesn't he fight Rigondeaux? Why doesn't he fight Rigondeaux? And then he fights him and beats him. You know what they said after?
Smashed him.
you know, they said afterwards, oh, Reagan was too old. He was too small. He was this, he was that.
Yeah.
Why the fuck did you want him to fight him?
And let me tell you what. Let me tell you what, man. Rigo was an awesome fighter. I don't care what you think about him. He was amazing. That guy was a defensive genius. And he got completely trucked in that fight. I mean, that fight wasn't even close. Made him quit. Who was the other dude that he fought? I'm trying to think of the other guy he fought that he put out in like five rounds that just shocked me too. And I thought he was going to win, but I'm like...
Nicholas Walters. Remember Nicholas Walters?
Oh, yeah, the Axeman, yeah.
Yeah, it made him kind of waver a little bit too.
Listen, man, this guy, back when he came out, when he first turned pro, Gary Russell, right? Just completely dismantled that dude.
That's another great win for him, Gary. Gary Russell win.
Yeah. You know, coming out 2-3, when you're 2-3 fights and all, you're already a champion. And I'm sitting there wondering, like, wait a minute, you don't have 19, 20 fights. He's got two fights. He's already champion. That's a different kind of guy. And he's beating guys that have been there forever. I mean, he's just knocking them over. It's not even close.
The way he beat Walters like that, I was shocked, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Walters manhandled Nonito Donaire, too.
Yeah.
Stopped him.
Insane.
Crazy.
Insane, man. The X factor. For me, the X factor here is the age. Devin Haney, again, as I mentioned before, 11 years younger than Loma. Loma's been fighting for a long time, and we have definitely, to me, we have seen slippage. It's not been the same Loma that we were, you know, accustomed to seeing in his first or second pro fight. This is a different, you know, I'm not saying he's faded a lot, but he has faded. What is your X factor?
Yeah, I was going to say Devin Haney's youth. Pretty much the same thing you said. Like, Devin Haney's youth, he's fresher. But I'm also going to say, you know what? I'm going to say the X factor is actually Devin Haney's size.
Yeah.
And there's a term called big for nothing. Devin Haney's not big for nothing because he uses every inch of that frame to his advantage when he's in there. He knows how to use his length. He knows how to use his distance very well. So I'm going to say size to me is the X factor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Centurion says, Eric Laura, if Loma wins, will you consider Loma one of the greats of his era? No, I won't. If he wins, I won't consider him a great of the era. And if he loses, he's just a great of the era, period. There is no if he wins this fight, there is no... This guy's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the great fighters we've seen. He really is. For what he's done to his opponents and the opponents he had, he didn't have any real soft touches in there. You know what I mean? There really weren't that many, if there was any.
Who right now stands out as the great of this era? It would have to be Canelo, right? Because he's the guy that was pound for pound. He's not pound for pound anymore, but he was pound for pound for a good period of time after the Mayweather era.
Who they got pound for pound now?
A lot of people have Usyk pound for pound. Some people have
Crawford.
Some people have Inoue. Yeah. Crawford was the best fighter for a while.
Yeah.
Right. And then because of the level of opposition, Canelo kind of took that over. You know, to me, and I hate saying this, but I think you have to give it to – I don't hate saying this because I kind of think eye test-wise, I think Crawford's an all-around more skilled fighter than Canelo, believe it or not. I just
do. I believe that.
But Canelo has the resume.
Listen, man.
He's got the resume to back it up. But if I'm just looking, I just think Crawford is just an overall better fighter than Canelo. He can do – better. He can do more things well
absolutely
than Canelo can.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. It's subjective.
No, it's true. But Canelo is the fighter of the year. I mean, you got to say that Canelo.
Yeah,
Canelo
well,
is like
I'll
the Sugar
Canelo.
You know how we have Sugar Ray and we had, you know what I mean? Like, there's always those names. Floyd and now Canelo. Canelo's the money guy. And that's the guy, you know?
He's been the ambassador of this sport in this era. He's won titles in four weight divisions. He's become undisputed, and so has Crawford. But Canelo's, you know, defending his undisputed titles. He's not vacating titles. He's holding on to it. Hopefully he'll fight Benavidez. If he fights Benavidez, then you'll never hear a critical word out of my mouth ever again for the rest of his career. If he fights David Benavidez, and you heard it here right now on the show, because everyone calls me a Canelo hater. No. I just want him to fight the number two guy.
No, but you can't really say that, but in the sense that, like, he's fought everybody. You know what I mean? He hasn't ducked anybody. He's fought
all guys. I don't think he's ducked anybody either.
I think he's ducking
B-ball
now, but that's it. You know, that's what I'm saying.
It is what I want the Benavidez. I want the Benavidez. What fight do you want more, the Bevo fight or the Benavidez fight?
The Benavidez fight.
What
do you want to see the Benavidez? What do you? You already saw the Bevo fight.
It's not even his weight class.
Different. What is going to be different in that next Bevo?
But once again,
you know?
even if he were to win, he's not going to campaign up there. He's not going to fight Benavidez. He's not going to unify
That's a bad weight for him. It's just a bad weight. He's not that big.
This is what aggravates me about the people that, he can do whatever he wants, so he wants his revenge, blah, blah, blah. But then you're the same people that are going to say, he's too small. Bivol's too big. This is not his weight class. He's not a real light heavyweight, right? And this is a bad style matchup for him. So you're saying all these things. So that's not a good fight on paper. You
right.
shouldn't want that fight because it's not a good fight on paper. Now, when you compare it to the Benavidez fight, this is a fight where either guy can win. Benavidez's style could play right into Canelo's. Benavidez will make this an action fight. Canelo, counterpuncher, you got a pressure fighter versus a counter. It's a can't-miss fight. Everyone's talking about it.
Much better fight.
Everyone should be calling for this fight.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear Canelo can do whatever he wants. No, just say I would like to see Canelo fight Benavidez.
Right. I agree. I would
agree.
You
say whatever you want, but... if you're a fan of the best fighting the best, you're a fan of the best fights. If you're a fan of the sport, for that, this is a win-win. It ticks every box. It's a huge money fight. It's probably the biggest money fight in the division by far.
By far,
that's number one. Could be arguably one of the biggest fights of the year.
It would be the biggest fight of the year. It would absolutely be the biggest fight of the year.
I think it does 2 million pay-per-view buys. That's just me. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I know it does over a million. Right, and you got a guy in his prime. You got another guy who's still not in his prime, but still good enough, so that you have that passing of the torch type element to this fight. Right, you got the Mexican versus the Mexican American. Imagine if they put this in Allegiant Stadium. Oh my God, because you got Allegiant Stadium's in Vegas, right? David Benavidez lives in Arizona, which is very close to Nevada, right?
Yeah.
Then you got Canelo, who has a property in California, which isn't too far from Nevada. Mm-hmm. Then you got all the people. Canelo's got a huge fan base, not only in America, but primarily and predominantly in the West Coast, right?
You know,
this is a can't miss fight, guys. Can't miss fight.
You can put that fight in Las Vegas. You can put it in El Paso. You can put it in San Antonio. You can put it in Jerry World. Anywhere in those areas, it's going to be a sellout, man. No
question. It's going to go crazy. So. I just want the fight.
Yeah, I do too.
Sorry.
I do too. All right, my final prediction on this would be Devin Haney is going to win and win big here. I don't see a stoppage here. I think Loma's too crafty for that. I don't think he gets stopped. But this is going to be a completely one-sided fight. Haney will win a wide unanimous decision, probably 10-2, maybe 9-3. But this is going to be a runaway type of fight.
I have a feeling at the end of this fight, my scorecard is going to read 9-3 for Devin Haney.
Yeah.
by unanimous decision.
That's what I think too. I think he's just too big. I think that's the thing. I think he's just too big, too skilled. It's going to be very difficult for Loma. If you have any questions about that, go look at that Teofimo fight. Go look at the first six to eight rounds of that Teofimo fight, and let me know how he did with that size difference. That jab kept him at bay all night. And that was Steve, but what do you think Haney's going to do to him? You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough fight for Loma, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's go to, 708. 708.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
708. Excellent. Hey, what's
Hello,
going on,
Callie
man?
From, excellent show today, guys. I'm definitely going to be taking
Thank you, brother.
By decision and locking that into my parlay, even though last time I told you guys bam by knockout and he ended up breaking his jaw. But what I want to talk about, not against conspiracies, so last night, I want to say around 8 o'clock, I was checking both FanDuel and DraftKings took the Rolly Romero fight off. Like, you couldn't bet on the fight. The wager was taken off. This was like 3 hours before the fight. Usually you could bet. I mean, you guys know. You guys could bet in between rounds. You guys could bet while the fight's going on. So as soon as
bet while the fight's going on.
Yeah, you could bet in between rounds, everything, you know. So when I saw that, I hit up my boy who was in Michigan. He said same thing happened to him. So it wasn't just people in Illinois. So that told me that something fishy was going on, because you never see that. It is unexplainable to me. But that's just I don't know if people in other states had the same thing. But that fight was completely you couldn't wager on that fight. I would say it was there that
morning. I didn't know that.
It was there that morning. That morning, I put him on some of my parlays. I believe I had a parlay with it, Rolly by. I think all my parlays I put Rolly by knockout, even though he almost got knocked out. But yeah, 3 hours. Right. And then I checked it at 8 o'clock to make some more wagers. I like throwing dollars on what round the knockout would be, this and that. And it was completely taken off on FanDuel and DraftKings in Illinois. So that's a red flag that something fishy is happening right there.
Yeah.
So they took the fight off completely, or did they just take the prop bets off?
They took the fight off completely. About 3 hours before the card even started.
Wow.
Before the
wasn't even paying attention.
I want to say the prelims were going on, but when it went to showtime, it was completely taken off. And it was there that morning because I put it on my parlay, but by the time I wanted to make some more wagers, it was completely gone. So I know that happened in Illinois, that happened in Michigan, and it's weird because it's FanDuel and DraftKings. So that was just extremely fishy. Like I said, you guys know, we can bet in between. We can watch the first round and then place wagers on who we think is going to win.
You can do live betting.
Yeah, right?
So,
you can do live betting, yeah.
I was just seeing if anybody else experienced that, but that's just huge red flags for me, man.
Crazy.
I'm glad that Showtime and the announcers called that out for what it was. I mean, they didn't want to
people
go crazy. They didn't go crazy on the PBC,
people
but they
blame.
Definitely called.
All right. All right, Kevin, we're going, man. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to 917. I believe this is New York, if I'm not mistaken. 917.
I think it's Maestro.
917, you're live.
Hey, this is Rafael, first-time caller. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Rafael.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
Good. So I would have to say I completely disagree with the assessment on the Lomachenko and Haney fight. I know that you guys have Haney size as a big X factor, and I would only agree with that if Haney actually had some stinging power. I think that the size on the Teofimo fight was very relevant and very significant because Teofimo actually has some pop. So you can't really take those risks going forward against Teofimo or any fighter that can actually have some pop because you have to have that risk assessment for the first couple of rounds. If you look at Nakatani or Comey or those fighters are also very big. And I understand that Haney is lengthy, understands distance and range. However, if he had pop, then I would definitely agree with you guys. I see Lomachenko, I see Haney potentially winning a very, very close decision. But to me, the X factor is going to be the referee. Depending who we get as a referee dictating the clinches, and how that's happened, that's going to be a very determining factor in how this fight goes. So to me, is a 50-50, but if I have to give it any way around, it's probably going to be Haney by close-edge decision. That's my call on it.
All right, there we go. You are on record, my friend. That is an interesting point. He said that just given the fact that Haney is bigger doesn't really mean much because he doesn't have the same pop. I'm not sure I agree with that, but he's got a point. Loma, we've seen Loma knock people out, make people quit. We haven't seen that really from Haney.
Here's the thing. He said something very smart, excellent point he made. goes, it depends on the referee. And a lot of times people like to say that sour grapes.
Yeah.
But officiating means a lot in sports because every official officiates an event, whether it be boxing, regardless of what the sport is, they officiate the sport subjectively, right? We've seen refs. Andre Ward had said, you know, if when I was fighting Kessler, I kind of watched him fight, and I noticed he doesn't really like to be roughed up a lot. So if you remember in that fight, Ward roughed him up a lot in that fight. He was very physical with him. You know what he said? He said, I was lucky to have a referee that would allow me to do that, because if I had a different referee in there, I would have had to find another way. That's what he said. And that's a great fighter like Andre Ward saying that. So I know it sounds like a cop-out sometimes when we say, oh, well, the ref, it was because the ref did this, the ref did that. But it does have an impact on how the fight plays out, because if Devin Haney is not allowed to clinch like he does, and he's getting warnings or being threatened to have points taken away from him, that's going to seriously affect his fight style, his game plan. Just a fact.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know,
that was a good point. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that either.
Sure.
He's 100% right on that, man.
He is.
For sure. All right, we're going to go to 410, Baltimore. I am the king of Baltimore. Neil before me. 410, you're live. And again, maybe you're not. Or I told you, they're intimidated by me. They're intimidated by me, Beeb. I just picked up. There was no answer.
Probably Jerry got stage fright.
I got to be honest, man. Listen, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I would get stage fright too.
Either,
if I was going to come on there, are you kidding me? And I got to debate me, the king of Baltimore? Come on, man. Come on, man. It's just too much. I get it. It's too much. Can't do it. I get it. 267. I think this is Philly. 267.
It's Drew. Is Philly Drew?
Well, you're definitely not the king of Philly, that's for sure.
That's you, man.
Good
you're
comeback.
The king of Philly, man. I'll tell you that.
Good comeback.
I tell you. Man, do you see those Eagles in the draft? They tore it up in the draft,
yeah.
Man. They're going to be right back in next year.
You damn right we're going to be right. We're going to be the best team in NFC again. And we have the whole
man,
schedule.
Them guys look good, man.
I'm listening to you guys talk. I got to disagree with you on that because Devin Haney has demonstrated issues with fighting smaller guys. He had an issue a little bit fighting Gamboa. He had an issue a little bit with JoJo Diaz. They both got inside and had success against them. It's the guys that he's the same height as them, you know, that are bigger guys that he's able to hold and everything. Plus, Roman's not a guy that stands there like he's fight every guy that he's fought so far. The footwork's going to be effective against Haney. Haney has a habit of still leaving himself open when he throws that jab or throws that right hook. He just is a guy that leaves himself open too much, and Loma's a guy that can make him pay with his footwork and everything. And I'm going to be honest, Jermaine Ortiz is a lot stronger than Devin Haney. He really is. The only issue Jermaine Ortiz has is a gas tank issue. If he didn't have that gas tank issue, I would even favor Jermaine Ortiz to beat Devin Haney. Like, I just don't – I really see Lomachenko using his footwork, and when he tries to clinch, slip to the side and hit him with a body shot. He's going to make him pay for doing that clinching and everything. And I've watched some of that stuff and everything. Haney's kind of worried about Loma doing dirty tactics and everything. And Loma's the type of guy that's calm, saying that, hey, let's stop talking. Let's do it in the ring now. Because it looks like Haney's trying to hype himself up more, saying that 4 years ago you dumped me when it was really a promotional thing that either promoter would want to let the other go on their platform to fight. I think Haney is a little bit, has a lot more pressure on him than Loma does. And Loma, this is like the first time Loma's been an underdog since the Gary Russell fight. But there were other fights that saying that the bigger guy was going to destroy Loma, and Loma just proved him wrong by destroying the bigger guy. I think everybody with Haney saying the same shit. He's too big. Loma's too old. I really beg to differ. I think this is tailor-made for Loma to pull an upset here. I'm taking Lomachenko by decision, by an 8-4 decision. and I would not be surprised if Lomachenko stops.
That's a good one, man. Yeah.
I would not be surprised if Lomachenko stops Devin Haney with a double combination.
Wow. And he's been saying this for about, I want to say almost 2 years, like maybe a year and a half
this,
now.
Yeah, I know he's been saying this for a while now, yeah.
He sees something. I ain't going to, hey, listen.
He sees it, man. Yeah.
I saw something in Tio before the Lomachenko fight. I was like, I was telling everyone Tio was going to win, and people were telling me, why do you think that? Why do you think that? I got 4-1 odds betting on Tio. I made a nice chunk of change betting on Tio in that fight.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't see it. He sees something, so. Sometimes you see something. I'm not going to discredit his opinion one bit.
There you go.
Like,
there you go.
It's just something I see right there that leaves him. He's not the clincher. If the right referee's in that, that's even more of a hard thing for Devin Haney to overcome. Because Devin Haney has to hold you in order to have that advantage or to jab and hold. He can't do that to Lomachenko. It's only a matter of time for Lomachenko boxes circles around, dude, and Haney's not going to know what the hell hit him.
Got a point, man. Got a point.
If Kenny Bayless is the referee, Loma's going to have a lot of problems.
Loma's screwed if Kenny Bayless is the referee.
Kenny Bayless is the referee. It's lights out. You better hope Kenny Bayless ain't the referee because
I don't think he's going to be the referee.
He don't let people fight inside.
I don't think Bayless is going to be the referee. I think they might have maybe. Hispanic referee for this fight. I kind of think they're going to have someone that's Hispanic referee this fight.
Okay. That was kind of random, but all right. We'll take it.
All right, Drew, we're going to get running here, man. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. So he's on record now, Beebe. He's on record now.
He's on record. He's been on it for a while.
I remember him talking about
record,
this.
Man.
He's high on Loma for this fight.
I hope he puts a little money on Loma, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Because I tell you what, he's going to win some if he wins. That's for sure. Shout out to Drew, man.
Shout out to Drew because he's been saying it since day one. So
yeah,
knows what he's talking about.
I tell you.
And here's the thing, he articulated his point, so you know it's coming from a place of analysis.
It's not just like he just snapped decision, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an analytical opinion. Yes. It's not just an emotional opinion like some people do when they call in here.
Very much so, man.
Shout out to Drew.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Drew.
And I'll tell you what, if he predicts it right, man, you know, I'm following his bets from here on out, man. I'll tell you that.
Give him credit.
Tell you that. Yeah, no doubt, man. As far as news and rumors this weekend, there was nothing, right?
Nothing going on.
We had like the KSI thing or whatever. I mean,
KSI forearmed Fournier yesterday.
Stop.
Here's the thing, man. This is what people got to understand. Whenever there's a foul that's unintentional, right? A lot of times, you know, it's not a disqualification. It's usually a no contest. Because that was an incidental contact type move. He tried to throw the hook, and sometimes when you try to throw the hook, we've talked about this before, you stop throwing the hook when a guy is at range, he's out at a specific distance, and then you start throwing your hook, but then he leans in, and by the time you get to throw your hook, it's incidental contact where you may hit him with the elbow or the forearm, because when you started the punch, he was at a different range. You're not going to be able to change the trajectory of your punch, you know, in mid motion. A lot of people can't do that.
No.
So that was just, at best, that's a no contest. KSI should not be disqualified for that. He didn't do that on purpose.
Nah.
They're trying to say, Fournier's trying to say he did that on purpose. I don't believe he did that on purpose. One bit. I just don't.
Did you ever think back when we got this podcast, Beebe, when you came on here? I think you were like 30 shows in when you first came on. That we'd be talking about KSI versus this nonsense.
I know, it's crazy.
Right, YouTubers. I hadn't even heard of KSI. You know, my kids knew who he was. They knew right who he was.
A lot of people know who he is. Yeah, he's very popular.
There it is. All right, we have, I'm looking at this. You remember that guy who's pranking us every week?
Yeah.
On the line.
Is he back in there again?
Back in.
Does he think he's going to get through?
I don't know. I kind of want to put him on. I don't know.
Come on, see what he does. See what he does.
Let's see what he does. Let's see what he does. All right, we'll keep it quick. 806, you're live.
You gonna swear it? You gonna swear at us again?
No, I just like black talk. That's why I watch boxing.
What do you say?
Oh God.
Well, happy Mother's Day to everyone there, man. All right. The panhandle in Texas is better for having you. I will tell you that. All right. I saw him on there. He's been on there all show. And I was like, I don't know.
He waited all that time.
He waited all that time so he could say that. You know, you got to admire his moxie. I don't care. You got to admire it. You know,
you got to give him credit for his patience.
His hustle, man. Jerry, I see you on there, but you didn't answer. I'm seeing you on there, but it's no answer. So I don't know what to tell you, son. I don't know what to tell you.
He said he had technical difficulties.
Yeah, of course he did. And now he's gone. Now he's gone.
Call in with a normal phone, and we'll go to you.
Do me a favor. Get off of Cricket or whatever service you're on. You know, whatever kind of burner phone you're on, because you're on the land somewhere. Where's Georgie been? Has he been in solitaire? Where's he been?
I don't know what happened to Georgie. Man. I think they put him in the hole. Put him in the hole. He can't call anymore. He's in the hole.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com, and you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. We will see you guys next week. Just so you guys know, please, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and subscribe. Give us a thumbs up, whatever. But subscribe to the channel, because Beeb has been doing shows a couple of times a week, man, and they've all been good. It's all been really good stuff, man. So, yeah man, absolutely. Let's support the channel. Let's support the Beeb and everybody else, man. Let's get this going. All right, guys, we will talk to you next week.